latest Retronauts patron-exclusive Friday episode takes a look at Square Enix's Trials of Mana and Legend of Mana. Trials, of course, was just remade in a really great 3D version, and Legend of Mana has a soundtrack that alone puts it in a world class of its own. If you enjoy the sample we've included here, you can listen to the whole thing by going to patreon.com/retronauts and subscribing to the show at the $5 per month or higher level. There will be another patron-exclusive episode next Friday, and on Monday, the free episode in the main feed, we'll take a look at the history of trackball games in our very last on-location recording before the worldwide pandemic shutdown, as well as an interview with Tim Lepetino, the author of Art of Atari, about all the things he discovered while putting together his excellent coffee table book. So enjoy the preview and check us out on Patreon. Thanks. So let's talk about Trials of Mana, a.k.a. Seiken Densetsu 3, the third legend of the Holy Sword in the original Japanese. This game came out for Super Famicom in 1995 and for Super NES. Never, because, I think there's lots of reasons. A lot of people say, oh, Secret of Evermore, that game sucks because we got that instead of Secret of Mana 2. No, we got that incidentally, and also Secret of Mana 2 never came here, but Trials of Mana, sorry. I think these are unrelated facts. Secret of Evermore might have been a little bit of a salve for not getting Trials of Mana, but
well, the rumor is that the script literally could not fit on the cartridge because it was such a big game.
I don't think that's a rumor. I mean,
yeah.
We should talk about kind of what the design of Trials of Mana was about, but it's a much bigger, more ambitious game than its predecessor. It kind of takes one element, I think, of Secret of Mana, which was an element they intended to have more of in the game and then ended up cutting because the game was shifted from CD, the Super Famicom or Super NES PlayStation platform, to cartridge, and they just lost a ton of stuff. But you can see a vestige of this in the early going of the game where there's like four or five different ways you can team up with the girl Purim or Prim and the sprite Popoy. Like, you don't have to do it the same way every time. You can take different paths and you can go through events differently, and eventually you'll end up with both of them in the party, but you can kind of have this dynamic, adaptable way of playing and have a different experience each time you play. And that's pretty neat, and that's really all that you saw of it in Secret of Mana. And I really feel like with Trials of Mana, they really wanted to take that element and build it into the basic fabric of the game. So they scaled back some of the elements of the, like, the mechanics, the combat and so forth, in favor of giving you a lot of different ways to experience the storyline. And as a result, there's a lot of variable text in the game, and there's just a lot of stuff in the game.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, Japanese, when it's written, is a much more compact language. It takes up much less storage space than English does because you're working with – it doesn't matter. Anyway, it's just more compact. And when you translate a game from Japanese to English – and you have limited ROM space, you end up cutting out a lot of content. We saw that with, you know, famously with Final Fantasy IV, Final Fantasy VI, with Secret of Mana. Like, there are new versions, new translations of those scripts that have been produced through the years that don't really change anything of the game. But what they do is they bring the full Japanese text into English, and it adds so much more context. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, I understand what's happening in this game now, instead of kind of having to guess at it. And I will say that, you know, Ted Woolsey, who did a lot of the translations on those older games, did a great job of taking a lot of Japanese text and smushing it into the limitations that he had for the Super NES cartridges and making it fun and readable and fairly coherent.
And spelling Phoenix with an F.
Sometimes you just gotta.
Yeah, only so many characters to go around.
Yep.
Well, there was a lot of text in this game. And I know that because this was a huge fan translation release in August of 2000. Like, so many – this game defeated so many translation groups. But one group, like, cracked the encryption on – and the compression on the text because there was too much text for the Japanese release. So it was all very much compressed using complicated compression techniques that they had to figure out. So this is, like, one of the white whales of that era of emulation. Like, oh, we translated this game. And I played this game for the first time 20 years ago when this translation came out.
Right. And, you know, the fan translations could work because they were for emulators and they could be for different sized Super NES carts. But to have a cartridge that was big enough to contain a fully localized English script for the game would have been a $100 cartridge. And that's just unfeasible, especially for the fact that it would have been a 1996 game when the Super NES was in its twilight and people were saving up for an N64. It just wasn't worth it for them. And, you know, games like this are a big part of the reason that Squaresoft said Nintendo 64 is going to be a cartridge-based system. Well, we can forget about that Final Fantasy VI SIGGRAPH 3D demo that we did, you know, targeting the N64 hardware, because now that we know it's cartridge-based, we don't want to do this. We want enough space to put our stories and our worlds and our characters. And you've got that on PlayStation with a CD format. You don't have that on N64 with a cartridge format. So long, Nintendo. It was a big backstab betrayal, but an understandable one.
Now that this is out in America in English on platforms, I kind of want a collection of the Square late SNES Misfit RPGs that never came over here. So I want a 3-game collection with Treasure Hunter G, Treasure of the Rudras, and also Bahamut Lagoon. Live and Live was like 94, I think, or 93.
It was, but we missed out on it.
I'll put that on there too.
I also want the Romancing Saga games. Let's just get them all.
Get them all on there. I mean, yes. Romancing Saga 2 came out, right, in some form?
Saga 2 and 3 are both out on modern platforms.
So this is all happening. Like, this could conceivably happen.
Romancing Saga 3 actually got more promotion and hype from Square Enix than Saga Scarlet Grace, which is a brand new game.
Yeah,
Bahamut Lagoon is the game I want.
Yeah. I mean, those were all fans translated, so people can play them now, but I really want to see, like, let's get these on Switch or something, because, like, apparently, I guess there's a market for it. Just like, here are lost games, lost RPGs.